from London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Trinidad addresses the United Nations Drugs Assembly. We speak to Prime Minister Robinson live from New York. Bob Marley's brother shot dead after going on the rampage in a Miami shopping precinct. And in Haiti, as three of the exiled opposition leaders return, a member of the electoral timetable is calling for it to be changed. I'm Sonia Fraser and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Caribbean nations have again been making a major contribution at the United Nations Special Assembly on Drugs. Today, the second day, the Assembly heard contributions from Guyana and Trinidad. Trinidad's Prime Minister, A&R Robinson, joins me now live from New York. Good evening, Prime Minister.
Oh, good evening.
First of all, let me ask you, Trinidad and Tobago have proposed the setting up of an international criminal court to deal with the drugs barons and traffickers. Has the proposal received serious consideration?
Oh, yes, certainly. The proposal is receiving serious consideration. It was debated at the level of the last sitting of the General Assembly in the Sixth Committee as well. And the matter has now been referred to the Law Commission for consideration and report back to the next sitting of the General Assembly, which is due to take place in September, so that the matter is receiving very, very careful and serious consideration.
At the session, you also called for an international tribunal. Is this related to the international court, and what would its role be?
Yes, the tribunal is related to the court and is intended to be one of a temporary nature to deal with perhaps a specific situation even before a more permanent institution can be set up. So the tribunal will operate on an ad hoc basis if the idea is accepted in the absence of the International Criminal Court, or even where there is a court and the tribunal needs to be set up having regard to the particular situation, then it can be.
It's widely recognized that the United Nations needs to take action to deal with the problem of drugs. But how are all these various projects going to be funded? Major fund donors like the USA and the UK have said that they won't be putting in any extra money. So how will these projects be funded?
Well, the projects just won't be funded if countries do not put in extra money, particularly the more developed countries where the demand is greatest. And it seems to me that if effective measures are not adopted, that it is clear the problem will escalate, and the damage done to the youth in all those countries, including other countries, will certainly convince the governments at some stage, possibly too late in the day, but they will be convinced that the money and other resources will have to be found in order to mount an effective response to such a serious global challenge.
Along with yourself, Guyana also spoke today, Prime Minister, and spoke about the problems of drug consumption. Is that now becoming a bigger problem, that the Caribbean Bank being used, as a transshipment point?
Yes, the lesson we have learnt is that once you're a transshipment point, you're going to have a problem of consumption. And that is exactly the experience we have had, and that's one of the reasons why we are here, in order to share our experience and to give warning, so to speak, to the global community, that even those countries that do not have a problem are almost certain to have one at some stage if they're used as a transshipment area. And even if they're not, this is something infectious which spreads and spreads rapidly. No country is really immune.
Thank you, Prime Minister Robinson, for joining us here on BBC Caribbean Report. That's Prime Minister A&R Robinson of Trinidad speaking live from New York. The 19-year-old half-brother of Bob Marley has been shot dead in Miami after rampaging through a shopping precinct. 19-year-old Anthony Booker had, according to his family, been acting very strangely in the days leading up to his death. They said he'd locked himself away in his room and had spent £500 buying new clothes that were all white. Arnold Markowitz, crime reporter for the Miami Herald, told me what the circumstances were surrounding his final day alive.
He had spent basically all Saturday night and all Sunday morning up until about 1 o'clock locked in his room. And most of the time, there was no communication with other members of the family except these incoherent or otherwise nonsensical statements he would make, which seemed to have no context or no meaning, and nobody quite understood what was the matter with him. He left the house at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and he was first seen in the shopping mall at 3:30, waving a shotgun around, going from door to door, and shouting and mumbling, "I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you." Of course, nobody knows who he had in mind, and the police are not really sure at this point that he was actually after anybody. As this was going on in this rather crowded suburban mall, people were becoming frightened and panicked. He would look into stores or start into them, and people would scream and hit the floor. They have unarmed security guards there, and they picked up his trail and were following him. And every now and then, he'd turn around and wave the shotgun in their direction, and they'd back off. He ran out into the parking lot. There were several other policemen already there.
And then what happened?
While all this was going on, a City of Miami homicide detective named George Cadavid was either arriving or just leaving with members of his family. It was George's day off.